Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, coming to you from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. And my guest today is Julie Myers, whose 20th season as head coach of the UVA women's lacrosse team begins Saturday outside Atlanta in Kennesaw, Georgia. Julie, thanks for stopping by before you head south.
Well, thanks for having me.
Your team played an exhibition last weekend against Georgetown, and you came out ahead 13-8. Anything come out of that game that surprised you, or did you learn anything new about your team?
You know, it was a great opportunity to go out, wear our uniform, play together as a unit, and test our systems. I think the first half we jumped out to a great lead. We were up 9-1. We made great saves and great defensive stops, and really executed on our shots. Second half, we changed our defense a little bit, went in and out of a couple of different options, rotated a few people through. So it was a great practice day for us. I think we got out of it as much as we wanted to, and then knew this week exactly what we needed to work on to fine tune for our Northwestern game on Saturday.
This is the second straight year you're opening the season against Northwestern in Kennesaw. How did one nationally ranked team from Virginia and another from Illinois end up playing in Georgia? And are there more games to come in this series down there?
We went neutral site because we typically don't want to go to Chicago too early in this winter, spring season. And for some reason, I think our ACC tournament changed. I think their postseason, their conference tournament changed. And we lost our date in the end of April. So suddenly we were looking at starting our season with
Northwestern.
Yeah,
you had been playing them late in the year, right?
Right. And somehow we got kind of off that track, and we were not willing to roll the dice with Chicago in the winter. So really we came up with a neutral site. It's always a great spot to get to. It's a little bit warmer. And Kennesaw State, it's a semi-pro soccer stadium, mm-hmm. so they do a really nice job of hosting it. This year we're part of a doubleheader, so Duke will play Denver in the men's side before we play our game. So it's, four great teams that are going to get together in the same site and really make a great day of it, I hope.
And lacrosse is booming down there, isn't it, in Atlanta?
It is.
Is that an area you recruit at all or look at?
It's certainly an area that we're watching more closely. We haven't taken a player from Atlanta, but Northwestern has a couple of them. Some of the other programs are getting these southern region teams. So, the high schools are huge there. The club scene is really big right there. So a lot of teams, a lot of schools will come and just kind of see what high-level lacrosse looks like and try to get, interested that way as well.
While we're talking about the schedule, I couldn't help noticing that you will play four games on the road before you play your home opener here, mm-hmm. March 3rd against Harvard. The flip side of that is that seven of your final 10 games are at home. How much of this was by design?
Well, it's a reciprocal schedule, so it's not that much by design. Last year we were home in the beginning, and then we went on the road. So, you get one over the other. I think the fact that we moved Loyola out of that opening stance. Really, that should have been an away game later down the road, but we ended up moving them out of that, and then they needed to needed an away game. So we were able to kind of get a few extra home games once that home stance started. But, Klockner Stadium's a grass stadium. It's a huge advantage to get up there when the grass is starting to grow and the ground is thawed a little bit. So it takes some pressure off of having to have Klockner ready in February. Last year we were home, and we played a lot of those games on the blue turf, which is a different setting than what Klockner is. So I think it's going to work to our advantage, and we're looking forward to it.
Your staff has a different look this season. Mm-hmm. You have a new assistant coach in Lindsay Rogers and a new director of operations in Marissa Peterson. How have their transitions to UVA gone?
They've been great. I think, Marissa and Lindsay came about a week apart of one another, and they've become great friends just from the virtue of getting here at about the same time and of being about that same age. But they've been a great addition. Their eyes are open. They're contributing. They're learning. They come with great experience before they got to Charlottesville, so they've been able to really share some of their ideas and some of their experiences with us. And, Colleen and I have been at it for 18 years together, so it's always nice to shake it up a little bit and to see what people think through different set of eyes. So I think it's made Colleen and myself better. I think it's made us think things through a little bit differently, and I think that we've all enhanced one another, and it's been awesome.
Did you know Lindsay before at all, or just did you know of her?
We knew of her. We had played against her because she obviously played at Syracuse. Part of the pedigree there, I loved that she had great coaches at Syracuse. She had Lisa Miller to start off, and then there was a coaching change, so Gary Gate comes in. And then Gary hires this guy named Reggie Thorpe, who was a great men's player as well, that ends up running the defense. So I loved that she, in just 5 years at Syracuse, had so many great minds working with her. They had a hugely successful program as well. So she, without many years of experience, really came in with years of wisdom from all that she learned from so many people.
Virginia went into last year's NCAA tournament with a 10-8 record as the number six seed and ended up reaching the Final Four for the first time since 2007. You have a number of key players back from that team, including Courtney Swan and Casey Bocklet, Morgan Stevens, Liza Blue. Have you seen a carryover in the fall and then this spring from that Final Four run? Because I know you talked last spring about, you know, that being a springboard into 2015.
Right, and I think we've seen great maturity from those players in particular, but it's rubbed off on all of their classmates as well as their teammates. So their work ethic, their focus, their drive, but still their ability to flip the switch and really enjoy the moment and enjoy one another has been great. You know, every practice has been pretty sharp, really competitive, but also funny at the same time. So I think that's a great blend to have, and I think it takes a true mature team to be able to really pull that off. So I've seen them grow from last year, and I've seen them really just kind of start the season at a higher level than what we did last year.
As I mentioned, this is your 20th season as head coach. In each of the first 19, Virginia advanced to the NCAA tournament. You've been national champion once, NCAA runner-up six times. What are your expectations for this team? I know you're ranked seventh in the latest IWLCA poll. Is this a title contender if things go right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we certainly have. Courtney Swan does a great job with draws. I think our attack is as good as it's ever been in terms of leadership and maturity and execution. You know, our defense has some experienced players back there as well. Rachel Vanderkolk being a first-year goalkeeper. You know, I think she's done a phenomenal job, but everybody's going to have room to grow, and there's going to be a bit of a curve there. But I think this is absolutely a team that can see the season end hopefully as late as, you know, Memorial Day weekend is what we're shooting for. So I think they're as good as we've ever been.
Unless I'm forgetting somebody, you're one of three head coaches here who is also a UVA graduate, along with George Galnovac from men's soccer and Steve Garland from wrestling. I realize you don't know anything different, but what's it like coaching at your alma mater? Do you hear a lot from the women you played with here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the luckiest people in the world. I mean, I remember when I played here, George Galnovac was one of our cohorts. He was a little bit older than I was, but certainly had a lot of the hanging in the same scene that we all thrived in. I remember watching him and his team play and win championships. You know, and Stevie Garland, you know, he dated one of our girls, one of our players for so long, so we knew him through a player's perspective. So to be able to connect with other coaches that understand Virginia inside and out and to really just share so many great memories and experiences, I think makes me one of the luckiest people in the world.
At the College Cup in December, George was talking about how much better he thinks he is as a coach now than when he succeeded Bruce Arena back in the mid-90s. When you look back at your early years as a head coach, do you marvel at how far you've come? And
yeah, I mean,
wonder at all how you did it early on?
You know, I think I was so naive early on. I was so afraid of not doing enough that I did so much. And I, you know, we didn't really have a full-time assistant at that point either. So it was learning from other coaches and coaching staffs, really trying to maximize all that we had early on. But really, I was naive. I didn't realize how hard it was to win. I just figured that we were going to win because that's what we had expected and what we were training to do. So, you know, I wish right now I was a little bit naive because I think it came in handy at times. You didn't stress things that maybe we should have been stressing.
You didn't know what you didn't know, right?
Right. We're like, well, why wouldn't you win? I mean... This is our team. So, but I do think that I've grown a lot. I've learned how to work with different staffs. I've learned how to work with so many different players, and the personality of the players have really changed over time too. So I think, you know, to stay where you were 20 years ago, probably I wouldn't be sitting here today if I was able to stay kind of in that naive stage and not grow along with everyone.
When you took over from Jane Miller, schools like Northwestern and Florida did not have varsity teams in women's lacrosse. Now they have elite programs that are in the championship conversation every year. How much has the landscape of the sport changed over your tenure?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we've grown by about 60 programs. So, you know, I want to say we had maybe 68 teams back 20 years ago, you know, and that was probably up from 30 years ago. So now we have about 112 teams competing in Division I right now. So I've seen so many great schools really host very top-notch competitive program. So, you know, if I'm a high school student athlete and I'm a girl, I'm looking at, gosh, lacrosse is such a great opportunity because you could play at so many awesome schools that just do so many things right and get a great education at the same time. So I think it's a great group of schools that we're competing amongst.
You have an interesting situation in the cage this year with only one mm-hmm. scholarship goalkeeper on your roster, and she's a first year. Mm-hmm. How is Rachel doing? Is she ready to handle that responsibility?
I think Rachel is amazingly mature. I mean, I know she just turned 19 a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, she's resilient, and she's a fighter, and she's tough, and she's incredibly smart. And I think all of those assets really kind of combine to make me feel not so worried about how she's going to do in the cage. I think her team believes in her. I know she believes in herself. And she's put in a lot of extra time as well. I think, you know, she's got big shoes to fill. Liz Colgan did such a phenomenal job last year. Not having a ton of goalies to rotate through, she's gotten a lot of time and attention and a lot of repetition. So she's ahead of where most first-year goalkeepers are at this time by virtue of not having to share the cage all that much. But we have come up with a pretty good solution to it as well. So we do have a guy that's a second-year engineering student named Ryan Montgomery that comes out to practice.
Just
to give her a break. And, you know, and it's great to see the camaraderie between the two of them and the competition. And, you know, they want to do better than the other person. I think that has been great for Rachel in a practice setting, and I'm sure that's going to carry over into game times as
Did you recruit her kind of with the idea that she would be a multi-year starter? I mean, maybe not necessarily from day one, but she was someone capable of playing early in her career.
Absolutely. I mean, I think whenever we recruit early and in a really excited, heavy way, we do expect these kids to work their tails off in high school, to do a great job, and to come in ready for anything, ready to compete at the very least. But, you know, we knew midway through last year that it was probably going to fall on Rachel's shoulders, and I think she saw that coming as well, and I think it's something that she really kind of embraced. And doesn't take for granted, but really figured that she needs to do even more than she ever thought possible.
What about the rest of the first-year class? Are there other freshmen you think will contribute this season?
I do. I think we've got a bunch of middies that are really fast. They're a little bit green right now, but they're fast. They're dynamic. And they've got things to learn at both ends of the field, which is probably why they're not totally ready for us for a game like Northwestern this weekend. But certainly first-years are going to look to contribute. And, you know, if they're not on a draw team, they may be in a split-mid situation. They may be true attackers. We do have Casey Bear, who's coming off of an ankle break from early December, so she's starting to find her way through practices. She's not completed the practice yet, so hopefully in the next week or so, we're looking at trying to get her into a game and see what she can do. But she's probably, Rachel and Casey Bear are probably our two most dominant first-year kids that are going to really look to shake things up.
Liza Blue was a third-team All-American last season as a redshirt junior. Had she not gotten hurt early in her career, she'd be out of eligibility now. How big an asset is it to have her back for a fifth year?
Oh, I mean, players like Liza don't come around that often. She's so smooth and so nonchalant and very efficient. I mean, if I'm matching up with Liza, I may not even be sweating that bad because she doesn't take an extra step. She goes hard. She's diligent. Mm-hmm. She does all the little things. She's such a great player, and she's a smart player. And, you know, I think she also appreciates all of her teammates. So to be as smooth and as dominant as she is, to have that appreciation for everybody else that she's working with, I think has only enhanced her game as well as the game of everyone around her.
What about your attack? You mentioned that it might be as strong as any you've mm-hmm. had. What makes it so good, and who makes it so good?
Oh God, I think it's the combination of the core four. I mean, it's Casey Bocklet and her lacrosse IQ and her ability to play at X and to swing a ball, but also to mm-hmm. take a crease, her ability to get a ball back, her ability to fast break and transition. I mean, she's really playing at her best right now. She's in the best shape she's ever been in, and she's focused, and she's hungry. So I think the combination of Casey Bocklet, Liza Blue, who we've already talked about, you know, Courtney Swan, who is, you know, she is a bear. I mean, she wants that ball, and she will do anything to get it, and she'll do anything to help her team. And when you have one of your best players that works that hard, I think it just lends itself to greatness. And then there's Kelly Boyd, who, you know, she plays in the middle, and those girls on the outside create so many matchup problems, and they draw doubles, and it opens Kelly Boyd up in the middle, and she's that that older guy tennis player that can just slice the ball.
Yeah,
you know, she doesn't take many steps, she doesn't need many, she needs an inch free for her stick, and she'll get that shot off. So, you know, again, we have very efficient players and very creative players that really, really love playing with the people next to them.
Morgan Stevens was the only player from Virginia named to the preseason All-ACC team. Is that simply a reflection of how strong the league is, or were some of your other players overlooked?
Well, I think those polls, it's always nice when you get somebody on that.
It doesn't matter.
But you don't lose any sleep over it either. I mean, it is a coach's poll. I think that there's some truth to it, but there's also some finagling to it, I would think, at some level, too. So, I think Morgan, it's a great statement for Morgan. It's great for her confidence. She knows it's going to have to be her best year to win a national championship, and she's going to need that from her teammates around her, too. So, Morgan, I don't even think her head has the ability to swell. I think she's such a humble, grounded kid. But I bet it makes Courtney Swan and Casey Bocklet and Liza a little bit hungrier. So I think in some ways it could actually play to our favor. And, they've got a lot to prove, but really mostly they want to play their best and they want to win.
Is Morgan the one you just put on the other team's best offensive player generally?
A lot of times, especially if that player has power or speed, you need Morgan's power and speed to kind of match with that. So we have a couple of other defenders that can be in a matchup situation as well. But clearly Morgan is kind of everyone assumes Morgan to take the top match.
Right. All right, one final question. The ACC tournament will be held at Kloeckner this spring. I can't remember the last time Virginia hosted it, but how much of an advantage is that for your team, or is that just more work for you and the staff?
Oh, gosh, no, it's so exciting. I mean, now that our ACC conference has expanded so many times that it really takes almost a decade for it to come back around to host. So we're excited that it's back in Charlottesville. The last time was about 8 years ago, and we played it actually in Ascot Stadium. So we played in the football stadium. The men hosted in Kloeckner, and we ended up winning it. And I'm not so sure we were the favorite team to win it that year. So we're excited to play at Kloeckner. I think our facilities guys do a phenomenal job. Our administration supports it. It's going to be hopefully a beautiful weekend in April and a lot of the best lacrosse that's ever played.
Julie, thanks again for your time and for stopping by. Good luck Saturday in Georgia and all season.
Great. Thank you.
I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check VirginiaSports.com for updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.